It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, math and geometry may bring back memories of school and only school. But our next guest says that math is part of the fabric of our daily lives. We'll talk to UW-Madison math professor Jordan Ellenberg about his latest book, Shape, the Hidden Geometry of Information, Biology, Strategy, Democracy, and Everything Else. First, there are computer chips in just about every electronic thing you own. Your computer, your phone, car, maybe even your big appliances. Over the course of the pandemic, there's been an ongoing chip shortage in the global supply chain, making it tough for manufacturers and companies to make the amount of stuff that consumers want to buy. It's now gone on long enough that prices on some consumer goods are going up. General Motors is making 500,000 fewer vehicles because of the shortage. Microsoft struggling to make enough Xbox consoles and Surface laptops. And Apple's CEO has warned that the supply limits could impact sales of their stuff. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in an industry that's been hit by the chip shortage? Have you been trying to purchase any of these things we've been talking about? A car, electronics, whatever it might be? Are you seeing higher prices or limited availability? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Willie Shi is a professor of management practice in business administration at Harvard Business School and is part of the Technology and Operations Management Unit. He's the co-author of the book, Producing Prosperity, Why America Needs a Manufacturing Renaissance. Willie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Pleased to be here.
We're in the midst of this global chip shortage. First, can you tell us about what these chips do, why they're in so many things that we buy?
Well, chips are everywhere now. They're used very widely in automobiles, of course, but they're also used in a lot of appliances, like washing machines, even, you know, fancy toaster ovens, but exercise machines, and of course, notebook computers and all those things that we use for work at home, right? So they're everywhere now because so much of the complicated functions you like to do, it's much easier to do them in hardware, or I mean in software, and then have them, you know, controlled by microcontroller chips. It's much cheaper and you can get much fancier functions. So they're really everywhere, and that's just on a path to continue growing.
Why did the pandemic restrict the flow of these chips?
Well, it's a complicated story. Okay, now, for one thing, we had a rise in demand for work from home things. I mean, we had a rush of people buying notebook computers, things so that they could use Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever. So a lot of demand for computers, a lot of demand for displays, also a lot of demand for home entertainment equipment like the new Sony PlayStation and games and exercise equipment and things like that. Now, where we really started getting a lot of attention on this chip shortage, of course, was the auto industry. Okay. And I think underneath that, it tells a very interesting story. Let me start with what the global auto market looks like today, right? Because China is the world's largest auto market. They probably manufacture twice as many vehicles over there that we do in the U.S., okay? And what's really interesting, and most people don't realize, is China vehicle sales kind of peaked in 2017, and 2018 and 19, they were down, right? So going into January 2020, the outlook for the China market was already down. So you can imagine, it's like, okay, maybe I don't need to order as many chips. Okay. Then, of course, the pandemic hits. Okay. And in China, in February of 2020, sales dropped 82%. Okay. Now, we caught up in March and April. In March, in Europe, sales dropped 46%, and they dropped 80% in April. And in the U.S., by April, sales dropped 52%. Okay, so now we tend to forget, but back in those days, the automakers were worried about, gee, we don't want to go bankrupt again. I mean, the big three in Detroit, we don't want to go bankrupt again, right? So what they did is they cut back a lot of their chip orders. Okay, and people were saying, well, you know, we really don't need as many, so let's not pay for them, right? We got to conserve cash. And then as a consequence, meanwhile, you had all this demand for notebook computers and work from home and play at home and what have you. And a lot of those manufacturers just soaked up that manufacturing capacity for chips. So then by the time the auto market started to pick up again last summer, all of a sudden there wasn't the capacity to make those chips. And that's when we first started noticing that. Okay, now there have been a couple other things that have happened. There have been fires at two semiconductor plants in Japan. Okay, and then we also did a couple other things that caused companies to start stockpiling chips. So, for example, we sanctioned some Chinese companies, or there was a threat of sanctions last year. So they started stockpiling chips because they wanted to stay in business. So what happened is you have this ferocious demand, increasing stockpiling, and then the automakers got caught short. So that's where we saw it first. Okay, but then this shortage has just kind of kept building as more people have sort of said, maybe I better order a couple more of those chips, right, and get them in inventory. And now that stockpiling, nobody will admit they're stockpiling, okay, but you know, a lot of companies are ordering more than they need, right? And so now we have this distribution where the chips and the capacity is not necessarily where it needs to be.
Talking to Willie Shih from Harvard Business School about a computer chip shortage that may be affecting sales at a car lot, computer store, appliance store. The list goes on near you. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a question for our guest and experience shopping for something with computer chips in it that there's a long wait for, or if you're in an industry that is seeing these slowdowns, love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Willie, easy solution. There's not enough chips. Let's build a factory and start making them quick. What's wrong with that?
Well, nice idea, but the problem is to build a factory and get all the equipment in and get it running, that probably takes, if you're in Asia, you might be able to do it in a little over a year. You know, in the US or in Europe, it might take you 2 years to get something like that going. Okay. And especially if you're going to make chips for, say, the auto industry, the automaker, you know, has to kind of certify that factory and they have to qualify it. Is the process they usually talk about. It's like, okay, I need to know your quality plans are good enough that, you know, you can make these chips for me, right? So there's a long process of getting the plant up and qualified. And then after you do that, to actually put the chip in to the factory and have it built, it's going to take, you know, 60 days to, you know, by the time you're done packaging and going through the whole supply chain, it might take as long as, you know, a couple of months, maybe as long as 3, 4, 5, 6 months, right? So that takes time. Okay. Now, we did have a lot of calls by governments in the US and Germany, for example, to Taiwanese manufacturers and say, hey, how about allocating some more of that capacity to our auto industry? And the Taiwanese factories, they're called fabs, or they're called foundries, the companies who make them, have allocated more. But guess what? That probably took that capacity away from somebody else.
Now, Will, you wrote about this back in March of 2020. And A, you said we're going to be feeling the impact of this supply disruption for a long time. So well done there. But you also point out maybe a fundamental problem, even pre-pandemic, a lot of industries relying on some form of just-in-time manufacturing, meaning I don't want to have a lot of money tied up in inventory, a warehouse full of these chips waiting for whenever. I'm going to have a short supply because I know there's a constant flow coming from Taiwan or wherever. Is it time to start rethinking that philosophy?
Well, I think so. This whole just-in-time philosophy really came from Toyota, which taught the world about the value of not having a lot of inventory and having suppliers deliver frequently when you need it. What people forget is that when Toyota sets up their manufacturing, their suppliers are nearby, right? If you go to Toyota City in Nagoya, Japan, you know, the suppliers are all, you know, 15 minutes away or an hour away. They're not very far away. Even if you go to, for example, Toyota in Georgetown, Kentucky, okay, they have an enormous number of suppliers within their state, within the state of Kentucky. Okay, now what happened is a lot of people said, hey, this just in time, let me reduce my cash tied up in inventory. I can extend that. Okay, I can extend it around the world because I have reliable global logistics. Well, that was great until the pandemic came, and then we see all these disruptions in the logistics and supply chains, right? A lot of chips are flown by air, right? And for example, when the pandemic hit, international air travel ground to a halt. That immediately took out 50% of the capacity for international air cargo because it travels in the bellies of air passenger planes, mm-hmm. right? So we had made these assumptions around just-in-time inventory on the basis of reliable, predictable logistics, okay? We sort of took it for granted. Well, maybe that wasn't such a great assumption. It certainly wasn't a very resilient assumption.
We're talking to Willie Shi, professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard Business School. We're looking at a computer chip shortage and supply chain logistics during the pandemic and what it all means when we want to buy or make things with those computer chips. A lot of disruptions now, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is your employer, your job being impacted by something going wrong in the supply chain? Have you had trouble buying a product that's been back-ordered or out of stock for a while? Do you work on some form of sales floor where you're having to give customers bad news about the availability of the things they want to buy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now with Willie Shi, professor of management practice in business administration at Harvard Business School, part there of the Technology and Operations Management Unit, looking at a shortage of key computer chips that go into things like cars, phones, appliances, and more. Big shortage affecting the supply of those things. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this affecting your industry, your workplace right now? Do you have questions about how the supply chain works in general? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Willie, in addition to that just-in-time philosophy we were talking about, keeping a limited supply on hand, I understand that some of these key goods are produced by, you know, just one or two companies, and they rely on products to make these chips that are made just by one or two companies. Are we counting too much on individual firms here?
Well, Rob, one of the problems is a lot of people didn't realize this. Okay, so and that's because of the structure of these supply chains. So, for example, let's say you're an auto manufacturer who will go to a big tier one supplier like Bosch or Continental or somebody like that for some of your components, okay? And those guys will in turn go to maybe a subcontractor to assemble boards, circuit boards that have chips on them. And then they'll buy the chips from one of these chip suppliers. And in the case of the automotive chips, would be somebody like NXP Semiconductor or Texas Instruments or ST Micro or somebody like that. And then those guys, sometimes they'll make the chips themselves, but sometimes they'll go to one of these Taiwanese foundries. Okay. And what people have discovered is, oh, you know, I might have been buying from multiple sources, but when I go all the way down multiple layers in the supply chain, I end up at the same place. All right. You know, now the world has learned that lesson before. Back in 2011, when there was this earthquake and tsunami, you know, the Tohoku East Japan earthquake and tsunami, when everybody who painted cars black in the world found out that that shiny black pigment came from one factory in that area. Okay. And Toyota sort of learned a lesson then, too, because they were depending on a lot of chips that came from a factory then. Mm. So they went and, you know, had more inventory. And a lot of people then said, well, we need to diversify more. But because of this layered structure, multiple tiers in the supply chain, a lot of people don't know that in the end, we all depend on the same suppliers.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Daniel is with us in Kimberly. Daniel, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Daniel?
Yeah. So my name is Daniel. I'm from Kimberly, Wisconsin. I actually just graduated high school here in Kimberly. I'll be a freshman at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, looking to double major in astrophysics and aerospace engineering. And so I'm going to need a computer while I'm there at school. So I was looking, and I just built a desktop computer so I could use that for some of my course requirements. But looking for parts, I was just at a loss. You couldn't find anything. Everything was like double, triple of what the regular retail price was, because a lot of people are scalping some of these parts. So I was lucky enough, I had a friend who had some parts, so I got them secondhand. And then on the other hand, you've got a lot of people scalping these Xboxes and PlayStations and computer parts and reselling them. And then at the same time, a lot of those parts are in shortage, as people are buying a lot of them to use for things like Bitcoin mining productions and other things like that. So I'm just wondering if there's really a solution to maybe something like that, or like if there's an alternative for Bitcoin miners. I mean, why are they doing things like this?
Daniel, thanks a lot for the call. Thanks for sharing your experience. Bitcoin is a whole nother conversation, but that's the sort of thing Daniel's bringing up that is being affected here, Willie.
Well, yeah, Daniel, first of all, congratulations on what you're going to be doing. We need more engineers like that. Okay, but you know, one of the problems, if you think about it, is if you're going to build a notebook computer, okay, or you're going to build an Xbox or something like that, you only need to be missing one part, right? And if you think about, like a phone or a computer, like I think a phone has anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 parts. You only need to be missing one. A lot of the shortages are in these kind of prosaic categories of like, oh, I never worried about that, like timer controller chips. One of the things that's in big shortage right now is what are called display driver chips. These are the chips that take the signal and put that image on that screen on your notebook or on your TV or things like that. So there are a lot of these little chips, okay, that sometimes they only cost, you know, a dollar or 50 cents or sometimes maybe $2. They don't cost a lot, but if you don't have it, then you can't assemble the product. You know, in the industry, they talk about, am I clear to build this thing, right? Do I have all the parts that I need? And when they're not clear to build, a lot of manufacturers will say, you know, I'm going to pay extra if I need to get those chips, because otherwise I can't build a whole product. And when that happens, you know, that means their costs increase. This is all being aggravated by people who are saying, just in case, I'm going to buy more inventory, right? So that's putting more demand on the manufacturer. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. The only advice I can give you, Daniel, right, and I know this is not very timely for those who are going back to school and they need their notebook computer. If you can hold on, it's inevitable that we're going to have surpluses of these things down the road sometime. So that'll be a good time to buy it because it'll be marked down. But I can't give you much relief until then.
Daniel, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck with the fall semester. Let's go now to Diane in New Auburn. Diane, hi. Are you there, Diane?
Yes, I am.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air. Okay, I don't hear Diane, but our producer tells me Diane says she had to wait for a chip for a car she ordered several months ago, finally picking up Friday. Okay, so Willie, are they letting cars go without some sort of optional chips, or we can go back and get them later, or are cars just sitting around unsellable without that key chip?
Well, a lot of manufacturers are building the cars with those parts missing. And then as they get their chips, they're going back and, you know, plugging them in, which, by the way, makes the car a lot more expensive when you have to go put it out on a lot. And then I got to, you know, truck it back into the factory and put the chip back in. Initially, what a lot of manufacturers were doing is saying, I'm going to concentrate using my chips on the most expensive cars, right? The ones that I get the most for. Right. And that's why average selling prices have been going up as well. And then the shortage, by the way, the automakers have been able to hold price on these things much more. So they've been making more per car. Right. So, you know, now they would still make more if they sold more cars. But, you know, so there are a couple of things going on, which is one of them is I'm going to allocate the chips that I can get to the most valuable cars. Now, TSMC has reported that they have ramped up production. I think they said, you know, the microcontrollers that are meant for cars in the first half of this year, they grew their output by 30% and for the full year, they're forecasting to make 60% more this year than last year. And we know car demand didn't go up 60%. So there's some hoarding going on somewhere, which is making this problem worse. But I think it's going to start getting better sooner.
Now, the Biden administration is talking about wanting to get more of these chips made here in the United States. And as you said earlier, that's not going to solve the problem next month or probably even next year. But if it was a priority, a federal priority to say, okay, we want to produce these things here, is that a realistic option? Is that a thing we can do?
Well, there are a couple of confusing things that the administration wants. One is we want to produce more domestically for guys like the auto industry. Those tend not to be the leading edge chips. Okay. Those tend to be made in older foundries, which we have some in the U.S. We could build more, but that means, you know, older technology. The administration also wants leadership in the advanced chips. That's a different problem. A lot of this is just, you know, the will to invest in that kind of long cycle capacity. Okay. And there's a lot of talk about how do I subsidize companies to build more in this country. I'm a little wary of subsidies because I don't know how sustainable that is once you pull the subsidies away, right? But, you know, the administration certainly wants to see more made in the U.S. We still have a lot of policy stuff to work out to figure out how we're going to pay for that and how we're going to actually make that happen.
Hey, Willie, 30 seconds. We've talked to you in the past about Foxconn here in Wisconsin. They're looking for stuff to do. We need chips. Just half a minute. Is that something they could do there?
Well, Foxconn just bought an old 6-inch fab from a Taiwanese company because they want to start making their own auto chips. I don't think they're going to move that fab from Taiwan to the U.S. The facility in Wisconsin, they'll use for assembly of stuff, right? And, you know, they'll put it to good use. I'm pretty confident of that.
Willie, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
That's Willie Shih, professor of management practice and business administration at Harvard Business School. He's co-author of the book Producing Prosperity, Why America Needs a Manufacturing Renaissance. We talked about a global computer shortage and why we're seeing a lot of delays and shortages in the pandemic supply chain.